Good morning, church. As you can tell, we're on a little different format here this morning. And I just wanted to talk to you this morning, kind of face to face in a sense, as best we can do digitally. I wanted to have a kitchen table conversation. What I want to share with you, I had planned on doing it next week, and I'd have a little more time to put it together and maybe polish it. But the Lord woke me up early this morning and said, nope, you got to do it now. And so I need you to know before we start that I'm emotional. This is emotional to me. And so it may be a little raw, and I may be all over the place. And so you're just going to have to give me a little grace with that. And two, there are going to be some of you that are not going to like what I say. Some of you may be offended. And some of you may say, wow, you know, I'm never going back to that church again. And that's cool. I have no problem with that. The thing is that there comes a time where you have to speak the truth, regardless of who it may offend or whatever results or circumstances may be. And this is one of those times. So before I get into that, I want to wrap some scripture context around what I want to say. And I want to start with, I want to read pretty much the whole chapter of Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us, as one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to talk to you about the events of this past week, and not necessarily as your pastor, but more so as a white Christian leader, a white father, a white businessman. And this is what I need you to know about me right now, is that I'm mourning. I'm mourning the loss of my father who died just several weeks ago. I'm mourning the loss of not being able to be with you. I'm mourning the loss of those that have lost jobs, friends, family, income. But today, I am most mourning the senseless, tragic death of George Floyd. If you're watching this and you haven't watched that video in full, from beginning to end, let me encourage you to stop this right now. You pause it and you go watch the video. Then you can come back and finish. It's important to understand so you can see the emotion and understand the circumstance of why I feel so emotional. When I first heard about when they just posted a picture of the police officer's knee on Mr. Floyd's neck, I was back in my bathroom getting ready for the day, and I wanted to go outside on my porch and watch the full video. And when I came out of the bedroom, my nephew was there. I had forgot he was coming, actually. And he's a black 10-year-old. And his name's Christian. And when I hugged him, "Hey, bud, what's going on? You gonna hang out with me for the day?" And I went out on the porch and watched the video. And when I watched it, I began to cry uncontrollably. It was just... it's like one of those times you just couldn't stop. It was just it wrecked me emotionally, and part of that, I could see my nephew, who was in the next room, could be the victim of such a thing. And please understand me, I'm not saying that because I have an interracial family that I can understand the pain and the rage and the anger that's in the black community. I cannot. That does not give me permission in the least. However, I do mourn with you, and I do feel it deeply, even though I know that I cannot feel it as deeply as you. You see, we are to mourn with those who mourn. That's what Paul said. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud and do not be conceited. As followers of Jesus, we are commanded, we are one body. And whenever a brother or sister feels pain, feels anger, feels rage because of an injustice, every single one of us needs to feel that pain. We need to understand the injustice, and as best we can, to be empathetic with the hurt. Some of you are really struggling with that empathy. You know, I can't imagine anyone, there's no one that could watch that video of George Floyd and say, "That was okay." There's nobody that's going to say that. Yeah, that was... there's nobody going to say that. But in saying that, they still want to deny the truth that was brutal, it was racist, it was murder. And because there are some who don't want to admit that fully, what happens is they don't want to face the truth. And this is the truth, that if you're having a hard time with that, it is rooted in racism. Now, I'm not saying you are a racist, but many people still have racist tendencies and thoughts. And quite honestly, many don't even know that they have it. I'm sure I still have some that I don't understand that I still have, unless it's pointed out to me or God reveals it to me. But that's something that you have to understand. You can't, none of us as Christ followers can look at our brothers and sisters of color, and in the remote part of coming to any type of understanding of the hurt and the pain, and not identify with that. And we try to diminish it by by saying, oh my gosh, yeah, oh, that was bad, but they're rioting and looting. That's insulting. You have no idea if you say that how insulting that is. Just like no one would say that the murder of George Floyd is okay, nobody's going to say it's okay to riot and to loot. Okay? Neither one of those are okay. But you can't diminish the pain and the hurt and the rage by saying, oh, wait, yes, yeah, okay, that's wrong, but look at this. That is insulting. You're not mourning. You know what you're doing? When Paul said to mourn with those who mourn, do not be proud. Do not be conceited. That's being proud. That's being conceited, and it's being defensive. That is not God-honoring, and it's not right. That's not how we conduct ourselves as Jesus followers. I was listening to a pastor who he pastors a large multi-ethnic church on the West Coast. He's a black pastor, and I was just introduced to him. But his name is Albert Tate. And I was listening, I think it was yesterday, where he was talking about this, the whole issues, events, of everything that's going on. And this was one of his quotes, and I loved it. Maybe we could find some way to put it up on our website or something, but this is what he said. If we can't tell the truth about the blood on the ground, and he's referring to Mr. Floyd's, if we can't tell the truth about the blood on the ground, we can't experience the power of the blood that's on the cross. If we can't tell the truth about the blood on the ground, we can't experience the power of the blood that's on the cross. You see, these are the times when, as believers, as Jesus followers, when the rubber meets the road, and even though you can't fully understand the pain and the hurt and the rages in the black community, you need to try your very best to mourn and to understand it and have empathy with it. And you may say to yourself in a moment of pride and being conceited, well, I understand. You don't understand. You don't. If you're not black, you don't understand. The pastor who I was quoting a minute ago, Albert Tate, he said a few days ago that he and his family needed to get out of the house. They'd been in isolation like everyone else. And so the part of California where he lives, they're a short drive from the mountains. And so they drove up to the mountains, and they got to one of those places on the highway you can pull off, and it's kind of scenic, and you can look down in the valley and see the other mountains. And so him and his wife and his two kids, a girl and a boy, and his son, the youngest, his name's Isaac. And they were out standing on, and they were enjoying the view, enjoy being outside, and there was no one around. And about 50 yards or so down the road, two police cars pulled off, and you know, they were overlooking the view and whatever. And shortly after that, his son went and got in the car. And the father asked his oldest daughter, who was the oldest, said, well, why don't you go check on your brother Isaac? So she went out to the car and came back. She says, Dad, Isaac got in the car because he was afraid of the policeman. And Pastor Tate said, what do you mean it scared the policeman? That's ridiculous. So he goes to the car and he says, hey man, Isaac, what's up, bud? I mean, your sister said you're afraid of the police. He said, yeah, Dad, I am. He said, son, why are you afraid of the police? And his son said, because I could die. I'll never have to have that conversation with my son. And if you're white, you'll never have to have that conversation with your son. I was talking to Pastor Michael Reed, our campus pastor in Bamberg, and he's black, and they've recently moved to a new home in Columbia, you know, retiring. In the neighborhood that they're living in, it's a newer neighborhood, nice neighborhood, and still some houses under construction. And his son Devante, who's just graduated high school, 17 years old, along with his grandson, a couple of nights ago, around 10 o'clock or so, they wanted to go out and go for a run. So they told Pastor Michael, hey, Dad, we're going to go out and go for a run. He said, son, you're not going anywhere. He said, Dad, what are you talking about going anywhere? This is our new home. We want to go for a run. He said, son, you can't go for a run. Don't you understand what happened to all Mr. Arbery? You remember that young man who went out running and stopped in a house under construction? He ended up being shot. Son, you can't go for a run. See, I'll never have to have that conversation with my son. I've never had that fear for my son's life. And so it's important to understand during these times what it really means to mourn with those who mourn, to have context with that. You know, and I want to tell you, I believe that the murder of George Floyd, and because the video was so powerful, it exposed a truth that has been there for hundreds of years. But I think it's the first time it was so vivid, it was so clear-cut, that it has evoked great emotion. There are people that are waking up and understanding the plight of the black community, how they have suffered systematically over the last hundreds of years, and it's still going on. I believe that this instance with George Floyd, honestly, this is my personal opinion, it's almost like a line in the sand. You see, there are a lot of people who carry the banner of being a Christian and but yet they aren't willing to speak up and take a stand for such an injustice. And I want to tell you that if you don't speak up now, then your voice in the future may be mute. You see, the world is watching us. They're watching you. All your posts on social media, your conversations, it's not just between you and your little buddies. That's being seen by a lot of people. And it's hard, you know, when someone, when members of the black community, when they're really suffering such great hurt, it's just one thing for someone to say, oh, yeah, that was wrong, and then go on about their business. You know, that's just like when my dad died. You know, my friends who really care about me and was mourning with my loss, they didn't just say, oh, Artie, I'm really sorry about your dad, but you know what? Let me show you what I had for dinner last night. Let me show you where I'm going. Let me show you my dog's new trick. You know, there was a time in biblical history whenever the member of a community suffered a loss, when a loved one died, everyone in the community would put on sackcloth and ashes. They would mourn as a community. Not just the person that suffered loss, but you know what? Because that person that suffered loss, they're a member of our community, our close-knit community. So if they're in pain and suffering, so should I be. I may not understand their loss. Kids lost their mother. Husband lost his wife. I may have never lost my mother yet. I may have lost my wife. I may not be able to understand it fully, but you put on sackcloth and ashes and you mourn with those who mourn. Martin Luther King said that the enemy is not the raging racist, but rather the white moderate who remains silent. This is a line in the sand. You may not understand it. You may have black friends, you may have black coworkers, black neighbors that you know. And even though they may seem okay to you, they're not. They're not okay. And if they are not telling you that they're not okay, they don't feel comfortable in letting you know the truth. You haven't earned the right to see their transparency. But believe me, they're not okay. Now is the time for the church to be the church. Now is the time for you, for me, collectively, to be the church. To honor others ahead of ourselves. To mourn with those who mourn. To put on sackcloth and ashes. And admit the truth. That there are a lot of us who may still have some racist tendencies. You know, whenever the Lord points those things out, that is the time for true biblical repentance. And I think there's some that are watching this. Some of you may be offended, and all of a sudden you still want to jump back on Facebook and say, oh, you know, Pastor Artie, you know, what about this? What about that? You know what? Just let me tell you, stop showing your stupidity and listen for a little while. Let the Spirit of God speak the truth to you, because what I'm telling you is the truth. Whether you want to hear it or not, the truth is the truth. Now is the time. The line has been drawn in the sand. And not only is the world watching you, but God is watching you too. This isn't about politics. This isn't about whether you wear a mask or you don't wear a mask. It has nothing to do with those things. This is real life situation. This is real. We're talking about the future of the church in North America. We're talking about our future together as God has called us to reach not only this community, but other communities. And they're all divided now. And a lot of that is because some who call themselves Christians, or they really are Christians, but they are still ignorant to the fact that God has called you to put on sackcloth and ashes and face the truth, that maybe you want to sweep that under the rug because you don't want to face the fact that you still may have some tendencies that are racist. Let me encourage you to allow the Spirit of God to speak truth to you, to look inside your heart and see if you do feel pain for your brothers and sisters. I'm not saying you have to fully understand it, but God says to mourn with those who mourn. And this is a time of mourning. We're called to the ministry of reconciliation. And there is no reconciliation without facing the truth, the hard truth. No one likes change. No one likes to look at their junk. No one wants people to look under the hood and see how crappy everything is. But God already knows your heart already. You just need to understand what your heart really is. I'm not talking about this to everybody, but, you know, if I am referring to you, the Spirit of God is already telling you that, you know. The good news is that we will win. There's nothing, there's no power, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's no power that can overcome God's church. But don't be deceived. This division, it is a plan of the enemy. Jesus said that the thief comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I came so that you'd have life and would have it to the full. The enemy wants to speak lies, and if you don't understand fully and embrace fully your calling of God to mourn with those who mourn, you're listening to the wrong voice. It may feel to you like you're defending something, and you may even feel like you're defending truth. But the root of that is a religious spirit that doesn't want to admit the truth. The enemy comes to rob, to kill, and destroy. But the life Jesus wants for you is one that is life to the full. The Church of Jesus Christ will win. But it's our time now, as believers, to step over the line that's been drawn in the sand and do and fulfill what God has called us to be. And that is the true representation of the body of Christ. That though we may be many in part, we are still one. And that one has to be in unity. That means we honor one another above ourselves. We rejoice with those who rejoice, but then we mourn with those who mourn in sackcloth and ashes, not being proud and not being conceited. I know that's a hard word. And quite honestly, it's very difficult for me. Like I said, it's emotional for me to talk about it. But this is the word that the Lord would have us to have. And this is a hard conversation. This is not an easy conversation. This is one of those kitchen table conversations. So, let me close this out in prayer and ask God to give us wisdom as we move forward. Let's pray. Father, first and foremost, we come and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are God. We thank you for what you have called us to do. We thank you for the gifts that you've placed inside of us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit residing in our hearts that teach us and guide us into all wisdom and understanding. And Lord, I pray that those that are listening, those that are watching right now, if there is a heart there that has these racist ideas or leanings or understanding, Lord, even those who think they've got it right, and like many of us, we do. Lord, show me if I have any racist thoughts left in me, leanings, inclinations, Lord, anything like that is not God-honoring. It's sin. So God, I pray that you would speak truth. You would enlighten, bring your light into hearts and minds of everyone that is listening and watching. That those who would need to repent would repent. That the silenced tongue would be opened. That the calloused heart would be broken. And that your will would continue to be done for your honor and for your glory. And we pray for our nation that is hurting, God. We pray for those that feel anger, Lord, and Lord, for all the riots and the violence that is going on, Lord, nobody thinks that's right. God, I pray that you would quell that, that your honor and your glory would rise above, and that your light would shine upon this country and upon your church in this country, And as the whole world watches as to how we respond in our hearts, I pray that everything that we do and everything that we say would bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.